You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour.
Over.
On Radio TFI.
And good evening, all. Welcome to the Taxi Stand Hour here on Radio TFI. I'm Ed Van Es. If you've listened to the show before, well, normally John Chan is with me, but I'm taking Monday night solo to myself. Thanks for joining us. We have a special guest here in studio. We're coming to you live tonight from high atop the Governor's Club in scenic, beautiful downtown Fort Lauderdale. And let's get right to it. Let's meet our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, the man is a legend here in the taxi business, here in Broward County. The one, the only, Mac McClure. Hey, Mac. Say hello to everybody.
Well, good evening, Ed. I want to thank you for inviting me to your palatial studios. I'm quite impressed. And I guess we'll talk about a variety of things tonight.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off with, let's talk about, you've been in the cab business how long?
Right around 40 years.
40 years?
Yep.
My goodness. Tell us about your first day.
Well, I guess I'd have to go back a little farther than that. So I'm in a band, and of course it's back in the late 70s, and I've been playing guitar since I was about 10 years old, and we're jamming with Mike Beeson, who was in this particular band, and Dave Lukens was the lead singer. I can't remember Frank was the drummer, and a bass player that played an upright but also played a kick-ass regular bass. So of course at the time we're just broke musicians gigging here and there, doing whatever to get by. And we were about, our rehearsal place was about three blocks from Yellow Cab. So, back in that time, the singer comes in, all of a sudden he's got a big pocket full of money. So we're going, holy, where did you get that money? So, I went over and got a cab. Back in those days, you could just pay daily. Drive whenever you want, take the cab out, either daytime or nighttime, turn it back in, pay for the cab, and you were on your way. So, me and Mike Beeson, okay, let's do that. So, we went down, and it's kind of foggy, because there were a lot of things going on in my life at that time. But, I just went down, and I don't even remember exactly what was going on, but I do remember one particular thing that was happening. So evidently it was during Fleet Week, which I had no idea what that was, because I was very musically in tune at the time, and really politics and day people, as in D-A-Y people. We're just not part of my life. So I went out, and this British aircraft carrier was in town called the Ark Royal, which was their big, giant aircraft carrier, and had probably seven or eight accompanying ships with it because they travel in the groups. I just got in the cab, and boom, made like a couple hundred, $300 in one night. I said, I'm in. And that's pretty much, I don't remember a lot. I mean, but there were just sailors everywhere.
So in other words, there was seamen all over the place.
Yes.
Okay. You knew I was going to go there. So you start driving a cab. And Now, were you driving a company car?
I drove a company car for about 2 or 3 weeks, probably, maybe a month.
And then what happened after that? What drove you away from a company car?
Well, nothing really drove me away from it, but there was Warren Bennett and Risden had about a block away some OD cars, owner-driver cars. I said, hey, you can drive for us if you want. And sounded good to me because, you know, the whole standing in line, wait for a cab. And I was never a big stand in line guy. Once again, that's back to the day people, D-A-Y, to stand in line. So I said, okay, fine, I'll do this. And I just started driving from them. I think I was paying maybe $25 a day.
Man, that's $25 a day. That's
yeah.
So you start driving for these guys. Now, was there a particular owner that you drove for specifically, or were you moving all about?
Well, I just drove for those guys for, I'm not really sure how long, quite a few years, maybe 4 or 5, whatever. Okay. I'm not really sure. And then I went to work for an owner-driver. His name was Charlie Alexander, a real gentleman. Played golf with him. And he said, well, you go ahead and drive my car. And I said, okay. We lived close to each other, my private house where I lived at the time. So I was less than a mile from the cab. So I said, okay, I'll drive your cab. And let me just say that I really miss chrome bumpers.
You and me both.
Because you could just back into something, and the piston would get a little crooked. Okay, fine, whatever, you know.
I'm going to interrupt you here for a second, and just to bring the folks out there in radio land into this, you have to understand about Mac, he has it's a creepy, spooky kind of magnetism towards shopping carts. They seem to, when a shopping cart decides it wants to end its life, it throws itself in front of Max or behind Max's cab. Either way, actually, he's done both. But
well, so anyhow, I went to work for Charlie, and the one thing that I learned from him was, pretty much the only thing that he said to me was, okay, I think at that time it was $30 for the cab for the night. And he said, here's the glove box. Your last day is free. Because the day that I come in and your $30 isn't there, I'll assume that was your last night and I'll have somebody else in the cab. Now, what that taught me was, pay my lease on time every week, every night, whatever it was at the time that I was driving, and that was your main obligation. Just pay for the cab first, then the rest of it's all gravy. And so evidently nowadays they just don't pay for the cars.
That's a thing that has gone way by, because having dealt with that myself, that call us old school, if you will, but well, you know, when I was running my cabs, you know, that was an ongoing battle with certain drivers it wasn't. You pay your bills, and unfortunately what a lot of drivers don't understand is it's just like credit, like a credit card. You have to build up so that you want to be a good payer, so come the time that you need the help is there. And nobody comes to mind bigger than Harry Swoosh. The only reason that man stayed with any cab company was because he paid. But enough about that. We've sidetracked. So Mac, if I were to ask you to describe yourself in a short sentence, how would you describe yourself to a...
Well, after driving for so long, the secret to actually maintaining maintaining your sanity and to let things go off the back would be just a poor old country boy trying to get by. And I pretty much would remain, I taught myself how to remain flatline in a cab. Never two up, never two down. If I get a run for $100, if you get all excited and you know to drive down to Miami or Palm Beach or wherever you're going, and then by the time you get back, you're so wigged out listening to the rock music and just whatever, you're tired. It wears you out. So you don't get too excited when you get really long runs. And then when you have a problem customer, I mean, I don't really consider short runs a problem run, but no matter what happens, I just don't let it, I just remain flatline. I don't let anything get to me in the car, and I never carry it on any farther than where I drop the guy off. Maybe up to the next run, but only under extreme circumstances where somebody really got under my skin, let's say.
You, sir, are my personal hero.
Ed, however, has a much harder time.
A wee bit of a difficult time with the, with that sort of thing. Yes, I take it all personally. It's all. The entire planet has set out to make Ed's life impossibly difficult. But enough about me. Let's. All right. So we've both been around this business for quite a while. You a little bit longer. Discounting the whole Uber thing for right now, what do you think's the biggest difference from back in the 80s when we were starting out, 70s, 80s, with the radio dispatch, and, say, 5 years ago? But again, pre-Uber, but post, after voice dispatch went away for Yellow Cab here in Broward County.
I think that the biggest problem that led us to where we are now was I, of course, was blessed to be the first cab to have the dispatch computer. And
that was 1988.
Whenever it was.
It was 1988.
And guy came around the airport, the newspaper, took my picture of me in my cab. I have it somewhere at the house, maybe, I think. I don't really care. But when we went from voice dispatch to the computer, we lost total control of the drivers and the jobs and the customers. And so, I don't know how I, here's how I'd put this, is that when you had a voice dispatch, most of the guys that dispatched were on the stick. The girls or whoever, guys or whatever, boys and girls, would answer the phones. They'd pass a yellow post-it note sized ticket with the address or location number on it to the dispatcher. He'd dispatch it out to the cabs, and that cab, regardless of what the job was, would have to go pick it up.
Right, and there was no...
And if those people called back, let's say, so back in the day when we were all young, we wanted everything to be a big run, so, you know. So you wait 45 minutes or whatever, and you get a grocery store run, and it's the same person, and, you know, you really just don't want the run, but you go and get it, because if they call back, the response was immediate.
Mm-hmm.
They'd call out your cab, hey, 819, where are you at? This woman's calling back. And so then they'd write you up, you'd have to go in, you'd have to explain yourself.
And you actually did have to do all this, because I got nailed myself a few times.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't blown off like it is. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And and you only got a few chances. So you go in, you see the underlings that they yell at you, and the second, you know, I never really, back to the whole day thing again, you know, I can't deal with all this authority, so I just got every freaking job that they gave me.
Just for those of you, again, they're not aware, don't know Mac or myself personally, we were both night drivers back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And
we were very much nocturnal.
So if you don't like driving grocery store runs, then you drive at
night. You drive at night.
Or hospitals or doctor's offices or anything else. But anyhow, you know, to avoid the conflict, I never really was called in because I didn't pick it. I got yelled at for not picking up a job, but I never got wrote up, maybe. But they all, you know, the dispatchers knew the drivers knew the dispatchers, and they would know that you've been out there all day, be it 3 or 4 hours or 6 or 8 hours, and you've been getting pounded all day with just really not very good runs. And a good run would come up and would become the dispatcher would have to decide equal distance. Do I give it to the guy that's been picking up all of this stuff or the guy that's been giving me a hard time and not picking up his jobs? Well, of course, it would go to the guy that was flatline. Okay? So this really was, and this is how the computer started, was the people at the company that were running things felt that they were not having control, right. That the dispatchers were more important than the supervision,
right.
Or whatever at the
because
cab company.
That same scenario that you just discussed, I had that go my way a couple of times. Have a dispatcher calling this area, that area, the other area. I put in my bid. I would tell him where I was. And the next thing I know, he's telling me, well, go across the commercial bridge to Lauderdale-by-the-Sea. He never mentioned Lauderdale-by-the-Sea. You don't ask a question, you just go. And it winds up going to Miami Airport. Again, for just like you said, you're pounding it out, you're doing all the heavy lifting all day long, and now, well, okay, a little something came your way. Here you go.
You know, and also it was weighed out. I mean, there were other guys that, you know, I got the short end of the stick, and another guy that was in that position would get the job. But I wouldn't know the difference because I don't pay attention.
That's right, you
okay?
don't.
I just like, okay, fine, job's gone, that's it. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. And another thing that happened was if you were dispatched on a cab stand, dispatched to a job 5 blocks away or a mile away or whatever it was, if you caught somebody picking up your job, then you were chastised on the radio right then. Why did you steal this guy's job? And there were guys who were known for that, who got shafted by dispatchers and ostracized by other drivers. Now, you got to remember now, on the computer, we just find a shade tree and we sit
right.
on it.
Nobody
whatever
knows.
Happens, and nobody knows anybody. But right. in the day, we would sit on cab stands.
All together.
I learned how to drive cab from the guys that came down here with the owner, the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that came down from the Northeast in Chicago, they came down here. And they were the owner drivers, like Charlie Alexander and Bud Taylor and all these guys. And they laid down the rules. So, you know, I'm a rookie. I don't remember, but I'm a rookie. But I would ask, well, where do I sit? What do I do? What do I do?
Right.
And they would tell you what the hell to do to get by and how to act and what to do and what not to do. But now, so going back to our, circling back to our point of where this whole thing started, I mean, I only know Yellow Cab and Broward. So we've lost that camaraderie between the drivers where
oh,
the new drivers learn from
the old, sure.
From the guys that really know what they're doing.
They passed along the knowledge.
and you were ostracized for being an idiot. You were ostracized for stealing somebody's job. And back then, everybody wanted to be popular, and it was just a different deal.
You spoke to other drivers. You learned from other drivers. I mean, there were plenty of guys out there, old-timers, if you will, that taught me a thing or two. And you're right. Once we lost the cab stands, which is how we used to get our work, each area would have a designated place where the cabs would park, wait for the dispatcher to call that particular cab stand. And certain stands were very popular. We had one called the Plaza at Oakland Park Boulevard and Federal Highway here. You would sometimes see 10, 15 cars on that stand. So you would get a lot of fraternization, a lot of socializing out of stands like that. And after a while, you're working the same places. You start seeing people. You stop, you chat, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, what happened when the computer came in, all that disappeared. Some of us still maintain going to certain places. But for the most part, the only reason I personally know a lot of drivers now was because I ran 12 cabs for 12 or 15 years. But most people aren't talking to anybody out there anymore. So, you know, there you go. That's and just the back to your point about, you know, yes, we learned a lot back in the day because there were people to talk to, people that would teach you. Yes, you got your ass chewed out every now and again, but now it's nobody cares.
Well, it was not only that you would be ostracized by the other drivers, but if you stole people's jobs, if you made everybody else miserable, they'd just get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
And back in my day, used to make real money.
Yes, yes we did.
I mean, I had, at my house, I had a bar with 80 bottles of booze, a full lacquered big-time bar, and when I threw a party at my house, there would be 100 people there. And I knew every one of them, and they all knew me, and they were cab drivers, and they'd bring their little wives, and we'd socialize. But none of that now.
No.
Because all you do now is just work like an animal. And quite frankly, I don't know what's in my future as far as that's concerned. I mean, I've worked hard my whole life. I'm 65 as of last week.
Happy birthday.
And I'm quite able to drive. Don't get tickets, don't have accidents, whatever. And I consider myself, one thing I tell people, I give good rides. I rode in a cab today. The guy was just jabbing the, I mean, he says he's been driving 22 years, and this freaking guy is just stabbing at the pedal. I thought something was wrong with the car, but he'd go, I'm going like, holy cow, I'm going to get freaking car sick here, man. What the hell's wrong? And I can see, it was a Prius, and I could see his foot on the pedal, and it was like, I don't know if he had a condition where he couldn't hold the pedal steady. I'll take you back to a story of how I learned. So I owned cabs also, and I had a guy, his name slips my mind, but I may think of it. And I owned a diamond cab, and one of the guys, so I drove 5 days a week, made plenty of money, and then I had a day driver, drove 5 days, and I had two weekend guys, and one of the weekend guys was a bus driver. And the most important lesson that I've ever learned about driving is he told me this story that when he drove a city bus, and he was taking the driving test or whatever on the bus, and the guy came in with a half a glass of water, and he said, okay, let's go. And he set the glass of water on the step there. And he said, if you spill a drop, you're not going to pass. So I always think of that glass of water there. Smooth starts, smooth stops, and try to never jerk people around.
Right.
Because myself, personally, I get car sick.
You want to give them a good ride.
When I get a bad driver, I just want to puke. I mean, I can't believe what's going on. Well, anyhow.
Mm-hmm. If you want to join us here in the conversation, you got any questions for Mac, that's 720-820-1203. That's area code 720-820-1203. Let's move off the cab stuff for a little bit here. What do you say, Mac?
Sure.
Just well, you know what? Not completely off. Let me get your take on the whole Uber thing. Fair enough. I think that sums it up nicely.
let's just not leave how we got to where we are now.
Okay, let's go down that path then.
We left off that they got computer, they lost control of the drivers, the immediate control of the drivers, the immediate contact with the customers, and now we're all going to do everything on a computer. Sometimes the computer, this is a secret I'm going to tell you now, sometimes the computer is not the correct answer.
No. The hell you say.
I mean...
Keep this to yourself, kids.
If we would still have been on voice dispatch, we would be better today. And even though that the county has grown and we would have had to hire more dispatchers and to cover, chop the areas up a little bit, you know, and...
There would have had to have been accommodations made.
To be able to cover the work, they still would have been able to have the personal contact with the drivers and the personal contact between driver to driver. Mm-hmm. And they can sit into the yellow cab or whatever glorified driver training class they're going to have and have people that never drove a cab tell them what's going to happen. Nobody can tell you what's going to happen. You have to experience
that
it.
That is correct.
And then you have to interact after you have that bad experience or the good one, and then you can make adjustments from there. But because nobody ever talks to anybody, I mean, nobody ever calls me. Go ahead.
Now there's a point that I made to upper management multiple times about that training course that they have. That you have people in there, again, your very point. They had a gentleman in there doing it for a number of years who made it sound as if he had been on the road for 20 years. I sat in on that a couple of times, and I asked him, I said, how long were you on the road as a driver? I knew he hadn't been with our company. He says, who, me? Oh, I've never driven a cab. So then you really need to stop telling people. He was telling them how to bend the rules, and I said, you can't do that. First off, you shouldn't do it anyway. Let them figure that out on their own. Second off, you don't know what you're talking about. You have to know the system before you can try to beat the system. But everybody beating the system is what has killed the system. But again, this goes back to my personal beef where nobody wants to listen. But you make a very valid point there. And that's something I've said for a long time. We should have done a hybrid of you could have used the computer database kind of thing, but still have dispatchers out there keeping things under control. You know as well as I do, it became the Wild West out there once we lost our human dispatchers, I should say. So, 720-820-1203.
Well,
Mac and I normally hold something. We have a stick or a bottle or something we hand to each other because we tend to talk over each other. He's being very, very polite tonight. He's giving me, he's not stepping all over me, and I am not stepping all over him. So this is very difficult for us.
Well, I'm not here to belittle people or to take away from anybody who tries to teach a training class. However, I find it highly inadequate. But and this is a problem, you know, if we're before we get into Uber. This is a problem that's plagued the industry nationwide. And what that problem is that the people who own the permits and the cab companies themselves, through whatever, see, a computer, he can't stop playing
with
it.
He can't.
He doesn't realize, me as a musician, I know that I can back off the mic back here if I think it's a little low, or I can get up close and I can raise my own volume.
Anyway, you were saying, I apologize, 1,000 pardons.
So I was saying that the owners and the permit owners and the cab companies just got too greedy. Anybody that had an objection, or if they had a run-in with management or whatever, they'd just get rid of them. And so we lost a lot of good drivers. And, you know, Ed was one of the last ones to go through that, but he has his own issues.
Indeed he does.
But they would let the equipment that we were driving it to them. I mean, that was one thing why I stayed in the owner-driver fleet, was I would always be in control of who I drove for, what the car was. I mean, I like having a nice ride. I like my car to be clean. I like it to not be breaking down on me. I don't beat the car. I don't expect it to be breaking down or me waiting for a tow truck or any of that noise. So, but, you know, the quality of the cars, the quality of the drivers just went to an all-time low 5 years ago, maybe even before, but I'm really not that aware of where that happened. But then, now, we'll move forward to Uber. So they...
Oh, boy.
I think a good analogy that I would put to this is that... I really dislike the Publix grocery stores. Lived here my whole life. And I always felt, you know, Publix is like a Kroger if you're there. I mean, it's a nice grocery store, well-run, well-stocked. Everything's nice and pretty, but everything was expensive. Then Piggly Wiggly went out of business. Pantry Pride went out of business. And whatever other grocery stores were around except for Winn-Dixie. So everybody just shopped at Publix, whether it was expensive or not, because Winn-Dixie was lacking at the time.
It's where shopping is a pleasure.
And but now, Walmart's here with a neighborhood grocery store. I certainly am not going to go into Walmart, Supermart, and try to buy groceries behind somebody buying $300 worth of merchandise with no tags on it. But they open their grocery store-only stores, and then... So then that started to chip into Publix. So now Publix has a competitor that is a little cheaper. I mean, they came in dirt cheap. Walmart came in dirt cheap. I do a lot of cooking and a lot of grocery shopping my whole life. And but that's evened out a little bit. But it brought the Publix prices down. So... I lost my train
of
thought.
You kind of drifted off the road there. But that's okay. you were heading on your way to Uber in the past 5 years.
So now Uber gets this. So everybody's unhappy about the grocery store they were going to because they felt that the prices were too high and whatever. Well, it's the same thing in the cab. It's not so much the price as everybody's had not just one bad experience in a cab, but multiple bad experiences. And people who ride all the time, quite a few bad experiences in the taxis. The taxis don't show up. The guys can't find the address. They talk on the phone. They don't pay attention to them. They don't ask them which way. You know, like a guy gets in my cab and he says, "Hey, I want to go from point A to point B." I go, "Look, there's three ways to go. We can go this way, that way, or this way." This one's the least expensive, but it's a little slower. This medium run, that's the way I'd go, or we can go the highway and get there quicker and whatever. But I give them the options. These guys just take off.
Yeah, but a lot of people are also, in the last few years that I was in the cab, people, actually not the last few years, but people would just be shocked that you knew where you were going and what you were doing. And it was always funny. People would say, wow, look at that. You know how to get there. Yes, it's my job to know how to get there. And if I don't know how to get there, I know how to figure out how to get there. And it's, look, we all had a first day, and we all have places we don't know. As I'm fond of saying, I've been on every street in Broward County at least once. But unfortunately, some of them I haven't been on in 25 years. Anybody out there who pretends that they know where everything is a flat-out liar. But that being said, if you just, like you just said, Mac, a lot of these guys just start driving, not worrying about whether they're going the right direction or not.
Well, this gets down to you get what you pay for.
You indeed you do.
Okay, so my idea of Uber is you can get in my cab, and I'm going to know exactly where we're going, what the traffic patterns are, and what's the most efficient and least expensive way to get there. And I'm going to just take you that way. If there's options, I'll let you know. Now, with Uber, you got a kid with a decent car, and to me, kids are under 35, sitting at home on his bed, no job, nothing going on, downloads the Uber app, hey, I'm a cab driver.
Look at that.
I can't tell you the immense amount of information that cab drivers, real cab drivers, hold in their head of where everything is, even the addresses. Hilton Marina, 1881 Southeast 17th Street.
Hilton Beach.
Yep, 505 North Fort Lauderdale Beach Boulevard. I mean, these are just things you learn from years of driving and going all mm-hmm. over the place. I mean, I always tell people that you could live somewhere for 50 years if it's a city. I mean, it's a small town, it would be different. But if it's a city, you don't know where when you start, you don't know where anything is. Nope. You know how to get back and forth to your old job and your previous jobs. You know how to get to your wife
it's
or your girlfriend's house.
You know the triangle, home, work, and the grocery store.
And that's it.
That's what you know.
You don't know the doctor's office. I mean, I know every doctor's office, every hospital, every drugstore, every restaurant, every bar. And a real important part of what I do is whenever I pick up a restaurant, I say, what'd you think? And they tell me, and then I assess who's telling me, and I keep that.
You little, store that away.
I store that away, and then I know what are the best restaurants, mm-hmm. what are the best bars, what are the best, is this a dance club, is this a band club, is this let's sit around and look at girls' place. Is it plastic and
now back in the day, people do it with the phone now. But back in the day, you'd pull up to a hotel, somebody would get in the car with a page ripped out of the yellow pages with the and they would point to a restaurant. We're going to this restaurant, little quarter page ad, and I would look and say, oh geez, that's about a $30 ride. And I would turn to the customer and say, is this where you want to go? Are you meeting somebody here? Is there a particular reason you're going to this restaurant? Oh, no, it looks nice. All right, well, let's tap the brakes here. So you're looking for this type of restaurant, right? Yes. How about this? How about I take you one that's infinitely closer? Instead of you just guessing. I said, I could take you all the way out, and you're going to spend $80 in cab rides. Or I could run you right up the street for $10. And you'll be much happier.
Well, that's your job. I mean,
exactly. Exactly.
Part of driving cab, a big part of it, is helping people. You help people in wheelchairs. You help people in walkers. You tote groceries for people that are, just need help to do whatever you're doing. I mean, sometimes they're distressed. And I say to people sometimes, that I feel that I have a little kind of like the universe. I'm picking you up because you have this problem, and I have the experience or whatever it may be, you know, because a lot of people aren't flatline like me, and I can calm them down. And I'd be their little shrink, and I've had people go, boy, that's the best psycho calling I've ever, you know. But you know, you have a purpose when you drive. You drive to help people, it's just not all about the money. I mean, the money will come, but, you know, it's about your interaction with the people in the cab. And to me... it really hurts my feelings when, you know, everybody, like I'll be sitting on a cab stand somewhere, well, just sitting all over town, and there'll be people there with their phones, and they're staring at their phone, and they're looking at three of us sitting on the stand, and they're just kind of giving me that look like, I never ride with you. Lousy. I'm going to take a freaking car service.
Dirty stinking.
Well, good luck to
cab drivers.
Well, no, I mean, they've had a bad experience, but... I don't really understand if it's the money thing.
It's the money.
But I don't understand.
A lot of these folks, and now that I've been dealing with them on a semi-regular basis now for the past 5 months or so, a lot of them will say it's not the money, and that's all fine and well. I know they're not being entirely truthful. One of my favorite things to hear is, well, maybe Yellow Cab should have an app. And then I gently tell them, remind them, Yellow Cab had an app before Uber existed. The app wasn't great, and it had a crappy name, For My Cab FL, whatever that goofy name was. And I also remind them now, if you download the Yellow Cab app now, here in Broward County anyway, you're going to find an app that will show you where the cars are, where they're going to. It's not phony baloney. Uber's rider app is never accurate. It will always show you 8 cars, whether there are 8 cars in the area or not. There could be 12, you wouldn't know it. There could be 3, it's going to show you 8. They have ghost cars.
Well, a lot of these cars are, they're home.
It's not even that. I'm talking about, here, I'll give you an example. When this all started a couple of years ago, I was coming home. I left the supermarket, it was late at night, and I had the rider app, the Uber rider app open. I was in the cab, and I see 2 cars coming down. I was at Dixie Highway and 56th Street. I stopped and I waited. There was no other traffic, and I watched on the app 2 cars coming southbound. I watched on the app 2 cars pass my location. You know how many actual cars I saw pass my location? 0.
Get the hell out of here. The computer lies.
I Uber lies.
I don't believe that. Because everything I've ever seen on the computer is true, which is very little.
I know it's hard to believe, Pookie, but Uber is an evil corporation. Now, Lyft is just crooked. Lyft is like that neighborhood thug who hands out turkeys on Thanksgiving, but is breaking into your apartment the next night. Make no mistake about it. They're not as bad as evil as Uber. Uber is just flat out evil, and I've said it before. I don't believe. Well, first off, part of it is already happened. Kalanick, the CEO, is out. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think Uber makes it much past the beginning of the new year. I don't think they get deep into 2018. There's too much going on. If Uber was the love boat, okay, they have lost so many people right now. They are so far down in the batting order. If Uber was the love boat, Isaac the bartender would be piloting the ship right now, with Charo warming up in the bullpen. Coochie coochie.
Well, that would be Uber great. Oh my God. However, I don't think that's, I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but there has to be, you know, a lot of the cab drivers that, let's just say, are, to be gentle, inadequate as drivers to ability or customer or patience or whatever. Well, of course, they can't make any money in the cab. So now they're driving Uber. So who the hell else, okay? I mean, a guy that's worked a regular job his whole life, 9 to 5, 8 to 4, whatever it is, with an hour for lunch, or, and goes home, and he's home on the weekends, and he can go out with his friends and, oh, have a life.
No. Nobody has a life.
Have a life. And a wife and kids.
I've heard of these things.
Take vacations and get sick days.
Stop
and
it.
All of that funny stuff.
You're just making this up now.
Now, after about 3 months, this guy that's decided to drive for Uber or Lyft or whatever TNC may be your favorite, he's going, man, I'm not making any money. Now my AC's broke. That's $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have it. Or I'm driving 60, 70 hours a week, which is pretty standard for younger guys that actually still buy things. I don't buy things anymore except guitar equipment. But you got to put in a lot of hours. And there's no reward for it. And so they quit. So every Uber driver you get, except for maybe 15% of the drivers, maybe it's 18, maybe it's 13, I don't know, but somewhere around in there, none of them have driven professionally for more than 3 months. Because guys go, screw this, I'm going to go work at Target for $15 an hour and hopefully we'll get the living wage, and that's what you'd be able to make.
And I don't have to beat up my own car to do it.
Well, you know, it's a tough business. I mean, it's not for everybody, you know, I mean, if you don't take it seriously and pay what needs to be paid and fix what needs to be fixed on time, then you're going to be in trouble and you're just not going to be doing it anymore, or you're just going to wake up and go, phew, I thought this was cool stuff, but geez, I got guys puking in my cab. I mean, look, I haven't picked up a puker in a long time, okay? Because when I pull up to the job and I go, amateur drunk.
There you go.
And just staggering, I just keep on going. I call dispatch and go, oh, geez, I picked up the wrong customer. Can you send one more cab? And then they send a rookie over, and he picks them up, and they puke all over his face. And if somebody pukes in your car, you're done for the night.
Indeed you are.
You got to go. Because if you don't, you got to go home because you don't want, the smell is ridiculous. And you have to get every little speck puke out of your car.
But bear in mind, Mac, also, if you're one of these guys, tomorrow the wife's got to take the twins to the pediatrician in this car.
Well, no, that's okay, because you can tell her, oh, somebody puked in my car, smells like puke, and we're going to get by. But if you use it as picking up people that you don't know.
That's what I'm talking
about.
So
if you leave one little piece of stuff in your car, for 3 or 4 days, everybody that gets out of your car, they're going to go, man, that guy smelled like puke.
Dried beer and carpeting.
Can't do that. But
5 years ago, people still looked down their nose at cab drivers. Now, everybody wants to be one.
Everybody's a cab driver. They got guys on bicycles that are cab drivers. They got guys in freaking boats that are cab drivers.
The golf carts.
They had, for a while, the guys running around with the little thing behind them, and
the rickshaws.
Yeah, rickshaw. I mean, holy crap.
I want to real, very, very with a little bit of time we have left now, let's talk about a little local issue. The 6, 8, 10-seater golf carts. You talk about a bunch of guys that they just don't care. There is no, I mean, I'm watching these guys barefoot driving down the road, going backwards, running red lights, on the phone, and all that. and there just seems to be no, well, we're going to do what we want. It's not for real.
Well, unfortunately, that's not going to come to a good end, because somewhere along the line, somebody's going to broadside them.
Oh, yes.
And some people are going to really get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not really aware of if they have insurance or a license. I don't even know what's going on.
I'm
going
to guess.
I leave that up to the day people.
The people that stand in lines.
Yeah.
My guess is that because they don't, and I'm doing air quotes here, they don't actually charge people for the ride. So they're not for hire. They're not livery. They work on tips. You know, it's skirting the laws. The very laws that you and I as cab drivers have had to deal with for lo these many years since dinosaurs roamed the earth. And, you know, everybody's figured out a way around all this. And, you know, well, gee, and look, I've had people in the golf carts flip me off. I'm sitting there with a, you know, with a 6-7 passenger van, and, you know, they'd rather get in with the old guy with the ponytail. Fine, suit yourself, you know. Run up and down the street, and let's see him take you to the airport. I'd like to see you do that, and I'm sure one of these knuckleheads will get on 95 at some point with one of those things.
Well, I don't think they do that because they don't get enough money, but they take a lot of the $10 short runs out of the hotels on the beach to downtown or wherever, and they just suck all that work up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a big deal to us in the cab because, I mean, how many more people are we just going to have out there in
any kind of vehicle? Just
Jesus, I mean, they'll be hauling people around on their backs soon enough. I mean, I'm glad that I'm at the end of my time because I had a good time. I drove spring breaks, all of them.
Oh, boy.
got a lot of stories that I really can't get into on that, but I have some pretty wild stories.
And, that may be the next time you come back, the spring break stories.
No. And we made some real money. We had some real good times.
To quote a friend of mine, I think we made stupid money.
And it was just, and it's just not like that now. It's a real dredge. I mean, when I go to work, I can go to work whenever I want, but it's just trying to pull myself off of the couch.
Work up the enthusiasm, as I like to put it.
Just drag myself down there and get in the cab and just get my ass kicked for 7 or 8 hours, because that's all I can do now. Eight or 9 hours, that's it, I'm done.
Well, this goes back to something you just said, because it's kind of the blessing and the curse that guys like you and I have that were around for the radio dispatch and the spring break crowd. We remember when. We also know it's never coming back. We have a frame of reference that most drivers, at least here in Broward County, don't have. And we know when things ran better and you didn't have to fight. There wasn't as much turmoil out on the street, as much drama, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, again, it's the double-edged sword that drivers like you and I and Bob Simon, there's a number of guys still out there plugging along that we remember when. And that's, you know, people are surprised when I tell them how long I was, you know, oh, yeah, the mid-80s, you know, the 80s, and when this was that, and spring break was king, and we could all, you know, we all made fat, stupid money every night for, you know, certainly 4 or 5 weeks, and then, you know, but this, I don't like to use the S-word season, but because as Jimmy Stewart once said, there's no such thing as season, only periodic spurts of business, but you could definitely count on 3 months or so of solid, solid, solid money, and Now it's not as consistent. There's other factors at play. We certainly have more competition out there. And unfortunately, the cab drivers are the only ones abiding by the rules. Everybody else out there is just,
Well, and the limo drivers, I would say.
Well, the limo drivers have, had their own issues over the years, and we were never really in direct competition with them.
True, but they still have permits. They have to keep their vehicles.
Right.
No question. They go through county inspection, and you know, those guys are getting hurt just as much as us.
Nope.
The guys that drive the town cars and all of that.
No question.
You know, I was speaking to a guy last year. He had 22 cars. He was down to one. Because he couldn't get anybody to drive him, because he doesn't have any business left. I mean,
I know that feeling.
You know, the next one, what are we going to have, robot cashiers and robot baristas? And I was just talking to a friend of mine today. I said, there's 300 million people, give or take. I'm not too factual. I leave that up to the...
Day people.
And if these, we watched 60 Minutes last night, and this guy's delivering pot, and got a thing out in California where it's a pot delivery service, which is fine with me, but it's all over the computer, and they're going to put everybody out of work. And if you can't have people able to get a job, then that's it.
No, that's...
But if people can't remain gainfully employed across the United States, I mean, the jobs that are being created now, right now, this, I forget the name, Easy or whatever it was out in California, that all this dot-com crap and all this stuff with these computers, there's only going to be so many of those jobs. There's not going to be, so I was telling my friend, I said, you know, if you're under 30, if you're between the age of 25 and 40, and you are not a programmer, or, you know, forget about data entry. You can type as fast as you want. There's no more data entry to do, okay, because it's already in the stinking computer. Mm-hmm. So the low-level computer jobs are going to disappear. And then, so only the kids that are younger than 15 are going to be able to compete in the job market because they get it, and they're 3 years old. I see them all the time with their little tablets or whatever,
right.
And their parents get them going. But that 25 to 40 crowd now, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, but I do know what you can do. Real quick here, because we're getting ready to go off. If I had kids, and I don't, I would say learn a trade. I cannot find a freaking carpenter, a plumber, an electrician.
There's no shame in working with your hands.
Stuff, okay? So now let's just say you got a kid and you go, hey, I'm going to send you... Go to this trade school and learn to fix air conditioners. We live in South Florida. Now you can go to work for somebody, not the big companies where they... You go to work for a regular air conditioner guy, and you learn the craft. And after 5 years, whether you're a plumber, an electrician, or whatever, and you learn the craft...
Go ahead, finish up.
Then you can... start your own business and be an entrepreneur that way.
And on that note, we're going to stop right there. I want to thank my good friend Mac McClure for joining us tonight on the premiere edition of the Taxi Stand Hour After Dark. Mac, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll have you back again soon.
Well, you're welcome, Ed. Welcome, Ed. I'll stop back again, maybe bring the guitar and maybe try to set up a little something, maybe give you something besides George Thorogood, so you don't get the, you can't play this because I own this music. And have a good night, everybody, and thanks to Radio TFI for having me on.
All right, Mac, and again, thanks, everybody. We'll, y'all have a good week. We will see you all Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Saturday edition of the Taxi Stand Hour. John and I will discuss the things of the week. We're done. We're out. Goodbye.
See ya.